Welcome to My Stupid Podcast, episode 29. My name is Angelo Gonzalez.
I'm Jeff Widman, Y-A apostrophe L-L.
It's actually Y apostrophe A-L.
Oh, did I mess that up?
Yeah.
It's
Y apostrophe A-L-L, isn't it?
Whatever, it's y'all.
You all?
I'm never going to spell again on this show.
Well, we are an all John Mayer podcast. Thank you for tuning in today. We are on episode 29 today, and we're going to be going through part two of unreleased songs and B-sides. So Jeff has put together this playlist. We will share that with you. You can look in the show notes on the description. You can find the link to the YouTube playlist where of all the songs that we're going to be talking about. You can follow along, listen to them, pause us, whatever you want to do. And then you can hear us talk about it a little bit and see if you agree with us or not. Maybe you have some hot takes that we'd love to hear about. So
I would like to hear those. I think just like the last list, I put this in alphabetical because chronological was kind of a beast.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to chronological. We'll talk about what era they come in, but otherwise I'm not going to be able to do specific dates when I organize the playlist. So
this is basically from the last set. So you go listen to part one, you'll see there from the last set through kind of the Battle Studies era. So again, not real. Oh, this is, 2007 or whatever, right? Exactly. Yeah. 2007 or 2008 or something like that. No, just the bat through the Battle Studies era from our last one. And probably
the last
continuum ish
only
to the Battle Studies era, maybe a little before continuum.
He had so many unreleased songs that he played out because he was still experimenting on what's successful. He had so many songs that were that he was playing out or during the Inside Wants Out and Room for Squares era. So we covered everything up to Room for Squares. I didn't even get to the heavier things yet. So we still
need to
talk about tracing, you know?
Okay, yes, definitely. Yeah. So we're heavier things-ish to Battle Studies-ish, era.
Yeah, because he stopped. He kind of stopped shortly after Continuum. He stopped kind of revealing here's a lot of unreleased songs.
Right. He stopped playing them live a lot of times, testing them out.
Yeah, because with Continuum, I remember with like things like Belief and Trust Myself, he was playing them a lot and experimenting. I don't really see that happening as much after Continuum.
Yeah.
So I think we only got one more episode left, unfortunately, about this topic. Yeah. But
yeah, well, it's going to be... That's okay. I mean, yeah, for sure. And these are... I think we're going to... At least I will have some hot takes about these songs, I know.
Oh, good.
But this is going to be exciting. So,
one of these we've already talked. Some of these actually we've already talked about, but it's just the fact that it's a different version of the song.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's okay. So, that's okay.
Yeah. So, excited to jump into those with you, Jeff. As usual, follow us on all the social media platforms. You can find us there. Just search My Stupid Podcast. Share those things with your friends. Who are your other John Mayer friends? Those things always help to kind of get the show noticed. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're on all three of those platforms. Maybe you're a Reddit user. I know John Mayer has a pretty active Reddit thread. This is where we get a lot of information as well. So if you're not a part of that, if you don't follow that, you should go check it out. It's a great place to get resources. Also, Jeff, I joined a John Mayer Discord the other day. Did you know that there's a Discord server dedicated to John Mayer?
No.
I joined it, and I think I posted one thing, and then that was it. I posted, "Hi, happy to be here." And then somebody said, "Oh, I love the podcast." And I was like, thanks for listening.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then that was the last thing I ever posted, and I haven't even really been active.
Oh, wow.
So if you're on the John Mayer Discord, then shoot me a friend me or whatever. I'm on there. I'm not active. I do pop in every once in a while, but I'm active in another Discord channel a lot, so I don't have like too much margin to be so active in two Discord servers. But so I joined that. You should join it, Jeff. I'll send you the link so you can jump in there.
Sure, please do.
We also ask if you enjoy the show, leave a positive review. We're up to now, Jeff, I don't know if you know this, but I believe we're up to like 90 reviews.
Dude, what?
91 reviews.
Wow. Y'all are very generous to do that for us. That's awesome.
4.9 out of 5. It still shows, it shows that we actually have a 1-star review.
Interesting.
It looks like it. One-star review. So, who, you know, if that was
I
you,
mean, the average
shoot us an email.
Still,
let me know. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The average is still 4.9.
So thank you, those of you who do go and leave the reviews and rate us 5 stars. Those things really, really do help. Like, they help the algorithms and all that stuff push it out to more people to get into the recommended stuff. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Spotify. If you're a Spotify user, even maybe you don't even listen on Spotify, it would help if you just went and followed us. You can find us on Spotify, follow us, subscribe on Apple Podcast, all those good things. So, you know,
all that stuff,
new episodes
all that
drop.
Counts. Yep.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff counts. I did want to mention, Jeff, we talked a little bit about this, but we did have a friend who left a review who said, this is Hehe Yeet Man, by the way. Hehe or Hehe. I don't know if that's like a Michael Jackson. Hehe. Like, or.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. you put a lot of effort in that one. That was good.
Hehe Yeet Man. Gave us a 5-star review and said, laziest editing ever seen. But I do the same for my podcast. Love John Mayer. Find out someone else shares the enjoyment. Laziest editing ever seen, which, by the way, you know, just if you're going to talk about somebody editing, at least make sure you're grammatically correct. If you're going to call somebody out, maybe edit your review next time.
Right.
Hey, Yeet Man. But I was like, man, I was like, okay, was that? That's like one of those. What do they do? What do they call them? Like a, it's like a compliment, but it's like a, it's not
backhanded.
It's, you know what I mean? Like, they kind of give you a little jab, but also give you a compliment at the same time.
I can only think of the expression backhanded for some reason.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah, it's like a backhanded compliment, right? Laziest editing I've ever seen. But I do the same for my podcast. Great job, guys.
Then you could have just said nothing about the editing.
That's right.
If you relate to it, then don't bring. I mean, it's still a 5-star review though, so I can't really.
We can't really complain. I'm very sensitive, Jeff. So whenever I get that, I am too. I hear somebody criticize what I lovingly pour 1 hour every 2 to 3 weeks in. And I will be honest, our editing could be better.
Man.
But I feel like we have a pretty good audio. So
yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Hehe Yeet Man, and everyone else who left the 5-star reviews. We really do appreciate that. So just kind of making light of that because it's funny to me. All right.
Pretty funny, honestly.
So news. There hasn't been a ton of news besides just the obvious Sabrok's coming. We know that. A couple things, I think, since the last time we recorded was now we have an acoustic version of Last Train Home,
mm-hmm.
which if you haven't heard that, it's really, really good. It's good quality. I think he did it on TikTok. It's also on his Instagram. You could probably find it on YouTube if you just type in Last Train Home acoustic. He's been pretty active on TikTok. Not as active as he used to be, I don't think, but you know, he's still active on there promoting the album. Oh, I got my zine, Jeff.
I did too. Yeah.
You got yours. Yeah. We both got our zines and we found out what a zine is. I don't know. did you see this? Somebody sent me a message saying that a zine is the actual appropriate term for that.
Yeah.
Meaning that it's like a put to get, like somebody who would like put something together homemade, like almost like a collage type magazine and homemade, you know, not professionally done. And that's definitely what this looks like, right? I mean, it harkens back to that kind of DIY, you know, and so it is a zine. It's not just a booklet. It's not just a magazine, but it is actually a zine. So correction there from us. I don't remember. I'll find out who sent that and give them a shout out on the Instagram or something. I don't remember. But, we got our zines. Those were awesome to read through. I loved reading through those. And, a lot of good insight, as we mentioned before, about the album, about the songs. Since we recorded last, I think he played on Kimmel. He hadn't played before, right? He was going to like that night or like the night.
Yeah. He was going to that week and we were like, hey, this is something to look forward to.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, of course. It was great.
What'd you think?
Yeah, it was great. He really let it fly on that solo.
The end, man. I watched it like 3 or 4 times, and I usually don't do that. Usually I'm just like, okay, one time's enough. But I rewatched it about 3 or 4 times in a row because I was like, man, this song, it's really growing on me. The song is. And then just the ending was like, man, that solo he did at the end was so, so cool. And then the last bit of news is that I guess today it was announced on the John Mayer store that the next vinyl that will be released for pre-order. Remember, we talked last time that there were two that were kind of like hidden. It was like, there was a color one, but there was a countdown. So that will be a purple swirl vinyl. So if you're interested in that, I think it's $27 to pre-order it. And that will be available for pre-order on Wednesday, June 23rd at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So for us, Jeff, I guess that's 11, if I'm doing the time zone.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if you're interested in that, pre-order vinyl, the purple swirl vinyl looks pretty, pretty cool. I think it looks better than the pink vinyl. So,
yeah, I like the look of it. Yeah, I agree. Better than the pink.
So, all right. So let's jump into, our weekly email segment or bi-weekly or whatever you want to call it. The John Mayer email segment. We love hearing from you guys. We love hearing from the listeners. It really just blows us away that you listen and that you're like, oh, I want to write in. We love hearing from you. We love hearing your thoughts, your John Mayer stories, your rankings. All those things are super fun for us to read. So you can email us at mystupidpodcastshow@gmail.com. We do check all the emails. We read all of them, and then we read some of them on the air, and we're going to do that today. So Jeff, I usually read all the emails, but today Jeff's going to take a crack at it. I think he's done it a couple times before, but
I don't know, man.
Yeah, dude, you had trouble really spelling tough. Y'all. So
yeah, it's Y-A-L apostrophe L, right? I forget. Let me try this reading thing. I'm not. Oh, man, this is gonna be rough.
Yeah. So Jeff's gonna kick us off here with our first email.
Yes. Thanks everybody for writing in these. These are actually kind of lengthy ones, but I like that though, because a lot of them have lists in it too, which I really love reading, like you said. So the first one's from Claudine Newman, who I'm familiar with. She mentions this in the email. She says, I've been meaning to email you for a while now and have finally got around to it. I've been a John fan for many years now. I've heard, having heard No Such Thing on the radio back in 2002, which I now find funny as John is so rarely played on the radio here in the UK. She writes like she's from London. No, she doesn't write like that. That's a joke.
But she writes like she's from London. I can't do a British accent if I tried. I don't think.
Yeah. Let me tell you about my British accent. I was in theater in high school, and we did a British play, and I was cast as the Irishman. That's how good my British accent was. Because I just can't. Yeah, I can't make it work. It's terrible, especially when you have to project.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Anyway, so she says she then bought Room for Squares after hearing No Such Thing on the radio and fell in love with his music. She's seen John 7 times live now and thinks he's getting better and better each tour. I agree. I hope she hopes Europe won't have to wait too long for another tour. OG.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that's gonna
might be a while. The U.S. isn't even getting one yet.
I think if we're lucky, this is a good thing to talk about. When do you think he's going to tour?
2022.
I think 2022 also. Probably
the Grateful Dead tour
summer.
is taking up everything until October or whatever, and I don't see him touring during
the holidays. He's not going to do a winter tour
or whatever. No, that doesn't make sense to me.
Maybe a spring tour, probably summer.
I can see him doing spring. He did that for Search for Everything.
Yeah. Spring or summer, and then hopefully maybe Europe, Australia, stuff like that in the fall. Yeah. Or I mean, God forbid 2023, but it could be that long. I mean,
yeah, John, if you listen to this, please secure Madison Cunningham for your opener. Thank you. She's the one that he would praise like endlessly. Last year, the year before that, when her debut album came out, she's freaking amazing. Since he introduced a lot of us fans to her music,
yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, they would just fit together. Dude, just, you like her music. You can't stop talking about it. Anyway, sorry. So this is where Claudine mentions that she was an OG listener of Bigger Than My Podcast, which is the, for those that are uninitiated, that was a previous John Mayer podcast that I hosted, and I just had friends on, and we talked about Mayer stuff. So she says, when I heard you were doing a new one, I knew I had to listen. I love listening to you two talk about John's music, and I've definitely seen his music in a new light.
Uh-huh. New light. I love puns. That was a good
one. She says, I'm not a musician, so hearing you two talk about the music helps me understand his music better. I got behind on the episodes as I listen at work. That's okay. That's why we release them kind of scarce, like sparsely, whatever the word is I'm looking
for.
Pace it out. And she says she was off work far too long during the pandemic, but she's nearly up to date. Hey, the fact that you're listening at all means a lot to me. Thanks for returning to this voice. So she says she had to listen to the new episode as soon as she could, because she couldn't wait to hear what we thought of Last Train Home and what we know of Sob Rock so far. Personally, she really likes the new sound. Big fan of 80s music, having been a child in the 80s, and the music gives her a lot of joy, not to mention nostalgia. I feel that.
I think all of it. Yeah, that's him too. I mean, that's what, yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that she's listened, she has to agree with, she agrees with both of us about the new music, even down to putting New Light, Guess I Just Feel Like, and Carry Me Away on the album. She said she'd rather have a new whole new album of new songs. I totally agree with that. But still, really excited to hear the rest of the album. Me too. Us too. I will always love how he often changes his sound with each new album, but at the same time, this is still the same John we love and know. And that's one of my favorite aspects of his music too.
Yeah.
As a little throwback to an earlier episode, here is my list of albums, which I found a lot harder than I thought I would, and will likely change the order. I get that. I do that often.
Yeah, they move around, man.
Yeah. But this is where she feels they are right now. Her number eight, thanks for doing this in 8-1. Number eight is Paradise Valley. Number seven, Inside Wants Out. Number six is the criminally low The Search for Everything. I said that. She didn't say that. Number five is The Heavier Things. Number four is Room for Squares. Number three, Battle Studies. All right. You know, you like what you like. Number two is Born and Raised. Number one is Continuum.
Yeah, I mean, you love who you love. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like you love what you love.
Who you love. she says Room for Squares will always be special to her, as it's the album she fell in love with. I totally get that. That'll always be in her top half. That'll be in mine too. I think I had it maybe like one higher than you did or something, because I just love that. No, you know what? You might have had it higher because I had Search for Everything higher than you did.
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't know, man, because...
But Room for Squares, we definitely both had high because we were like...
It's the OG, man.
It's what you fell in love with. And she says, she closes it out saying, keep up the amazing work on one of my favorite, that's with a U in it.
Favorite
podcast. Favorite. Favorite podcast. I don't know what that word is, guys. I'm a big fan. Thanks, Claudine. Sorry for razzing you a little bit. Thanks for taking. I was taking the piss, as they say in London or Brighton, whatever.
Jeez. Taking the piss. That's not what that means here.
having a laugh. That's what I was doing.
All right. So next email from Sam M. Sam M says, "Hey guys, I discovered your show via Metal Up Your Podcast, which
that makes sense.
It's my Metallica podcast that I listen to."
Because we're metal.
Yeah. Well, he says, "I'm a longtime patron over there, and after they gave you a plug a while back, I started listening." Yeah, they've mentioned our podcast over there because I'm a patron and.
Yeah, oh, cool! Anyway, so that's awesome. Yeah. They do that.
So, and we've gotten some listeners from just them because they have a pretty big following. So. He says, still haven't gotten through too many episodes, but I've loved what I've heard. My John Mayer story is very similar to both of yours, especially Angelo. I liked Metallica first in the late 90s. They inspired me to pick up a guitar, really get into music. John was, if you like, phase two, where my taste expanded, my guitar playing expanded by learning his stuff, and I found a totally different style of music that still spoke to me. Super similar story to mine. He says, I'm in Australia, mate. So I have... He didn't say mate. But he did say he's in Australia.
Yeah. We're adding all these offensive stereotypes.
I'm in Australia, mate, putting a shrimp on the bobby. That, he didn't say that. So I haven't seen John live as much as I'd like, but I've been able to see him five times over the years. The first time in 2004 and most recently on his Evening with John Mayer world tour in 2019. Evening?
I think that, I assume that's in reference to his solo tour where it was just him and no opener for like 3 hours.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's right. All right. Yeah. Good.
And by solo, I mean he was backed by a band. I mean he had an acoustic set.
But he did. You know what I mean. Yeah, it was just him the whole time, and then he did the break with the acoustic stuff in the middle.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
There was an intermission, I think, either before or after the acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
There was no. Okay, trio that's set. Right. Yeah.
That's right. I remember that. Okay. So he says, I thought though I might give you a story about one of those first shows I saw. For John's first few albums, he would usually come to Australia first around the time of release and play an album launch show at some small theaters, then come back and play arenas 6 months later on his proper tour. In 2006, he was in the country to launch Continuum, and I saw him play the Enmore Theatre in Sydney, a theatre of about 1,500 people. If you look up that show on setlist.fm, you'll see that song number 4 was Something Missing. And when johnmayer.com used to have all the set lists, that was listed as number 4 there too.
I remember when johnmayer.com had all the set lists. I would check it religiously. Like, what did he play tonight?
And notes about the show and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
A show that Bible.
Like that show. Like this was the first time he played this, or he's only played this song, you know, 20 times or whatever. Like something that would kind of, this is the first time he played this in Australia or in Sydney, or you know what I mean? Like cool little data facts like that would be super, super cool. Anyway, he says, I can tell you that he did not play Something's Missing. Instead, at that point in the show, I remember him about to change guitars, stopping and saying to the mic, no, I don't think I'll play that one. And then he proceeded to tune his low E string down, telling the band, I think you know which one this is. Low E went all the way down to C, and a couple of the band members quickly switched their instruments so they had the low C, and well, you know what song that is. So there you go, an exclusive scoop for you that the records are wrong and have been for 15 years. On that November 3rd, 2006, song number 4 was not Something's Missing. It was Neon, and it was amazing. A full band Neon, it sounds like, too.
Yeah.
Which that would be super, super cool to see. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to the new album and hearing what you guys think. Sam. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks for the email and the kind words. I think the Setlist FM just copied what was on johnmayer.com probably. And johnmayer.com probably just had the set list as John originally wrote it, because it was probably like some intern or whatever, Scotty Crow or whatever, doing the website. I don't know if Scotty was still around by then, but you know.
Yeah, he probably just typed it in from the paper set list that was out or whatever. Yeah. So anyway.
Cool.
Next email.
Next email is from Hunter Gatchel or Gatchel. I don't know. Sorry.
I would say Gatchel. I think Gatchel. Okay. Gatchel. Like a satchel.
Maybe.
You know, like you have a satchel.
You never know. Sometimes there's some flavor with a U to people's names. You never know.
Flavor.
Flavor.
There's some flavor to people's names.
No, I meant Fluver. Not. I'm just kidding. He starts off, hello guys, love the podcast. I just found the podcast and I've been catching up this past week, but just listened to your recent podcast on Sobrock. What I love most about the podcast is your interaction with fans. So you're one of them. I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring a little bit. I was born in 1998 and have been a John Mayer fan as long as I can remember. Your Body's Wonderland played often on the radio when I was a kid, and my earliest music memory was singing along to it, completely oblivious to what the lyrics actually meant. That can be scarring, depending on...
Bubblegum tongue. Little five-year-old. Bubblegum tongue.
Not gonna let your head hit the bed without my hands behind it. Right, Mom? Ha ha. He goes on, but John's music has helped me through a lot of tough times in my life, specifically born and raised coming out during my parents' divorce. Lots of lyrics that specifically pertain to my life and situation.
Wow, yeah.
And that album specifically has been my favorite album ever since. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Anyway, personal life. I hope it was cool that I read that. I mean, you wrote us, so I hope that's cool, guys. sorry if it wasn't, Hunter. Please write us back and tell us never to read one of your emails.
You're like, hey, delete that.
And then we'll read your email saying don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't read my emails again.
Can you not read my email that I gave you my personal details of? No, I mean, he wrote in and said, you know, I mean.
Yeah, he wanted to participate. Like, yeah.
There have been a couple of people who've written in who've asked, like, "Hey, you don't have to read this part."
Yeah, so and we'll respect I would that, assume absolutely.
If he didn't want us to read that part, he would have said so.
That's a good point. Yeah. Anyway, personal life aside, as he says, not me. I'm not saying that. He said that. I thought I'd go through my top 10 favorite deep cuts. That's great. Since I just listened to that podcast, and there was some on the list I had not heard mentioned, although based on the criteria, I'm not sure they would count. And just glancing at your list, no, some of those wouldn't count. Sorry.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Well, at least for us, yeah.
I mean, yeah, for you, whatever. The rules of the show, yeah. Yeah. So here they are below. I don't know if these are ranked, but I'm just going to list them off for you. Wheel, Blue Skies at Night, which is probably a part three unreleased and B-sides.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never heard of that song.
It's good, man. And it's one of the ones that people are like, where is that song? I want it on an album. Like, you know, it's one of the ones that people act a little more entitled about, and because it's really good.
Yeah.
The next one is Go Easy on Me, which again will probably be in part three. Then we have Victoria, Hummingbird, which we'll talk about today.
That's right.
Badge and Gun, Sucker. We talked about the last episode that we did it on unreleased stuff. All We Ever Do Is Say Goodbye. Face to Call Home, and You're Gonna Live Forever in Me. Some of those that were on an album, I agree.
I think a lot of those made some of our lists.
Yeah. I don't think All We Ever Do Is Say Goodbye did because I've gone on record and said that song's a little too repetitive for my taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Wheel.
You're Gonna Victoria. Live Forever in Me had to be up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He also says, I did think the live songs, I did think of live songs such as 3x5 or Why Georgia from Any Given Thursday album that have additional verses, but I think it'd be cool to have another podcast list for my favorite live performances.
And that's a really good idea, too.
That's somewhere in our list of ideas, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, absolutely love the podcast. Thank you so much. And I'm excited to listen to the rest of the episodes. I don't think this is the last you'll hear from me, and so until next time, take it easy and keep up the good work. Thank you so much, Hunter.
Yeah, thanks, Hunter. Appreciate that. Next email is from Elise DeYoung. Hey, my name is Elise DeYoung. I'm 16 years old, and I live in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I would love to live in a place called Kalamazoo.
Yeah,
I would just say it all the time.
Yeah.
Kalamazoo. Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo. I would never move.
It's like a fun word to say. It's like a fun word.
Instead, I live in freaking, Plano. Yeah. It's so plain.
Yeah. I live in Sealy. Kalamazoo. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah.
But Kalamazoo, oh my God, we're gonna have a party at Kalamazoo.
I just wanted to reach out and let you can let's make fun of every single person that writes in.
Yeah, nobody from Michigan sounds like Kalamazoo. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I just wanted. Hey. Much Miranda. Okay. I just wanted to reach out. By the way, that was my daughter. For those of you who didn't see that, my daughter came in and told me something.
She's another co-host.
She asked me earlier, what did she say? Oh, she said, you're going to be recording your podcast later today.
That's great.
The podcast. Yeah. All right. She says, I want to reach out to you and let you know how much I love listening to the podcast. I've been a John Mayer fan my entire life. My dad, who's a major Mayer fan, introduced me to his music, and because I'm my father's daughter, I instantly became a huge fan. I can't remember a time in my life when I wasn't listening to Mayer. All of his songs have a special place in my heart, and I fall in love with them more and more every time I listen. Mayer is a lyrical genius, guitar mastermind, and true storyteller. Agree with all those. Definitely my favorite artist by far, has always been and always will be. I've thought long and hard about how I would rank his albums. I've come to the conclusion that it's nearly an impossible task, because each album is so incredibly good and different. But alas, here I am to accomplish the impossible. Here it goes. Number 9, Paradise Valley. Number 8, Inside Once Out. Number 7, Battle Studies. Number 6, Room for Squares. Number 5, Heavier Things. Number 4, Continuum. She says, sorry, I couldn't put this higher.
You could have.
Number 3, Where the Light Is, which doesn't count in my mind, but...
Yeah. But if you are going to include it, it's number one. I mean,
come on. Number one.
Yeah.
It's number one.
It beats everything.
That's why we couldn't.
But that's because the longevity of his career. You know, we've been there almost every step of the way.
Yeah.
We
had talked about doing something like, and we were like, should we include Where the Light Is? We're like, no, because that's going to be the winner of, like, solos. You know what I mean?
Solos.
Yeah. I think it was solos, right? Yeah. It's like, you can't include them because that's. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always going to be the live ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Where the Light Is, number three. Number two, Born and Raised. Number one, Search for Everything.
I get that. I get that. If I were her age, I would be gravitating towards Search for Everything myself. Yeah.
She says, keep in mind this order is actively changing depending on my mood or the style of music I'm into at the moment. This is just the current lineup. Yep. I mean, that resonates with me. I mean, they're always moving around in my mind too. I also don't want to jump the gun because I imagine that Sob Rock will be lower on the list based off of what's currently out. The problem is that we haven't, even when we have it, even when it's a year old, it's just, we're not going to have been with it that long. Like, I mean, we've been with Continuum for so long. Even Where the Light Is, you know, Born and Raised, we've been with these albums for so long. It's almost like a futile task to throw Sob Rock in there, especially initially, because it's new. So some people may really like it and it may jump their list at the top because it's new. But some people may not like it. It may go to the bottom because it's not what they were thinking. But then it might go up later, like in 3 or 5 years. Or you know what I mean? Like, it's so weird. It's hard to rank, especially a new album, because you haven't lived with it. Like, sometimes you have to listen to songs for a long time, an album for a long time before it grows. It happened with me with Born and Raised. So
anyway. Search for Everything, I don't know that it was something that I fell in love with on my first listen. I'm gonna tell you that.
I mean, I would
especially
say the same
thing. It came out in chunks.
Yep.
It came out in chunks. And then when I started listening to it over and over again as a 12 song cohesive unit, I mean, over and over again.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, oh, I think I respect this album and love it a little more than I initially did. That's kind
yeah.
of crazy.
I mean, is it 4 years old now? Is it four?
It is,
or
yeah.
five?
Yeah, four.
Okay. So she continues, thanks so much for making this podcast. I love hearing from people who love Mayer as much as I do. It's my dream to one day meet him, but seeing as my chances are slim, I hope that one day you can get Mayer on the pod, because that would be the next best thing.
I don't know that he'd be able to, just based on his reactions to cover songs. Somebody reshared this on Reddit, that he had an Instagram live or something where somebody asked him, how does he feel about people covering his songs? And he just feels very insecure because when he looks back at somebody else playing his songs and doing it, in his opinion, better than him, he's like, oh no. Or he'll like hone in on certain lyrics that just don't hold up or something. He just gets over analytical in certain things. And to be on a show with super fans that think he does no wrong, it's got to be weird. So I don't know that he'll ever be on. But I mean, yeah, that would be rad. That'd be super rad. We wouldn't be Chris Farley on the old SNL sketch just saying, remember when you did this? That was awesome.
Yeah.
Remember when Google you, it if you're not familiar. It's really funny.
Remember when you, you released Continuum?
The Paul McCartney and the Bruce Willis ones are my favorite. Go watch that. Remember when you were in Die Hard and you walked on glass? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was awesome. And then he's like, stupid idiot. Chris Farley was such a gem.
No, sure.
Anyway, the point is that
I saw Chris Farley. I saw Chris Farley in Houston. He came to the. So, do you remember Planet Hollywood?
Yeah, absolutely, I do.
So, there was a
Sylvester
Grand
Stallone and all them.
Heck yeah! So Danny Glover and all those guys. So there was a Planet Hollywood opening in the Galleria in Houston, and I went. I was like, maybe 15. Or 16. It was sometime then. And he was there. He came and I got a picture of him. I have like a picture like from my disposable camera of him, right?
Wow. That's so cool.
This was like a month before he died.
Wow, man.
I think it might have been one of his last public appearances before he died.
Yeah.
I look at it because I remember I was going through old stuff one time and I found that picture and I looked at the date and I was like, when did he die? And I went and looked it up because the date was on the back of like whenever it had been taken or something. No, it wasn't a disposal. It was like a digital camera. And the date, you know how like the old film you would get developed from a digital camera would have the date on the bottom right, like in a digital
little
format.
Yes, I remember that.
Right? Yeah. So I went and looked it up and it was like a month before. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude. Like,
wow.
I freaking saw Chris Farley right before he died. Like, it was crazy. Anyway, I love Chris Farley.
Yeah, me too.
Well, to finish Elise's email, with much respect and adoration, Elise DeYoung.
Thanks, Elise.
Thanks.
You have a great last name because you are DeYoung, that's for sure.
You are DeYoung.
But there's nothing wrong with that. You write like you're not, and that's really impressive to do at 16. I was not, so.
Oh, no.
You write really well. I still can't spell y'all, so I mean, you know, that's how it's not even, y'all isn't even like officially, like, you wouldn't put it in an essay.
Y-O-L-L.
So you wouldn't even put it in an essay, so I guess it doesn't matter how I spell y'all.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. The last email we have, or at least the one that last one I have.
Yes.
Do you have another one? Okay.
No, we don't have another one.
Okay. The last one I have is from Caroline Grage.
I'm giving you all the hard, last
Yeah, thanks.
Names.
Appreciate it. You get DeYoung.
Grage. It's Grage.
Oh my gosh. If it's Grage, I'm going to be so embarrassed.
I don't know if it's Grage.
So, I'm so it. Messed up. All right.
Grage.
So she starts it off. Hey. Hello. Cool. 19-year-old fan from Arkansas. Fun fact. Arkansas is the first state I saw John Mayer in. All right.
Kansas.
She says, I'm the one that posted about the podcast on Reddit, and I geeked when Jeff commented, but geeked even more when he mentioned the post on the Sobrock episode.
Oh, thank you, Caroline.
That's cool. The fact that we can make you geek out about stuff just from talking, it's so crazy to me. I'll never get it. That's such a weird phenomenon. I can't get over in my head. she says, I've been listening to the podcast for a while now, and this is the first time writing. I appreciate you writing in. I'm yep. still working on getting through all the episodes. She says, I grew up listening to John. My mom, who, by the way, just named our newest cat Mayor. That's a fan. That's a fan move. Naming your cat Mayor. yep. I mean, I would at least go with, like, Wally, short for Walt, or something, like a nickname for Walt. You know, I would make it a little more obscure. My dog's name is Goku, and I don't even, he has no other names. I don't do the full name thing.
Goku-san?
No. Like from Dragon Ball? No. So Caroline continues, her mom had Continuum and Born and Raised on CD, and they listened to him on repeat. The first time she saw John was in 2019. He played Clarity, which I didn't know was rare until you guys mentioned it on the podcast.
Oh, man. Yeah. That would be great.
Quasi-rare, yeah. Quasi-rare. Like, he played it.
He played it a
almost
few times.
Every other show, like almost.
It was rotating, right? It was like a rotating thing on the last tour.
But before
tour
that,
only,
it was
though.
Like, yeah, it was a 2019 tour. It was rotating, but before that, it was kind of like, where's Clarity?
Yeah.
So it wasn't until her freshman year of college, especially when COVID hit in March 2020, that she really started listening to his other albums. Fell in love with Heavier Things, Insight Wants Out.
Nice.
When classes moved online and she was stuck in her dorm room, she listened to the EP on repeat. It was so raw and brought so much comfort. I assume she means Inside Wants Out. Because, yeah, dude, what a title for a pandemic.
You're right.
Pandemic album, unintentional pandemic album.
Good. That's for real.
So here's her rankings based on, you know, how often she's listened to each album. And, you know, it'd probably be different a year ago and change again later. But here we go. I don't know which way this goes.
It's going to be the opposite because she's
so it's going to be one things. Start at one.
Yeah. So start from the bottom. I would start.
Okay.
From the
so I'm going to say number 8 is Paradise Valley because that makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7 is Battle Studies. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Number 6 is Inside Wants Out. Makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, if I'm reading this in reverse, I would be shocked.
I it can't be. I would. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. So number 5 is Room for Squares. Number 4 is Born and Raised. Number 3 is Continuum. Number 2 is Search for Everything. Number 1 is Heavier Things. I do love the Heavier Things love.
That's exactly that, like, my sentiment. It's not on my top one, but I love that it's people's top one.
Yeah, like, because like, oh, man, my favorite, I listened to that in like my most formative years as a teenager.
Yeah.
And just... I felt like John was kind of growing up too when he made this album. So I don't know, man. I just have so many memories of that album.
Clarity is the best. I think is the best opener of any opener on any of his albums. What do you think about that? That's a strong statement that I just said, but I think it is the best opener.
I don't know, man. Have you heard "Back to You" on Inside Wants Out? I'm kidding.
I really thought you were like going somewhere when you were like, I don't know.
And no, it's just, I mean, it's up there. It might
what
be.
Else
yeah.
is better?
I mean,
what else is better?
You know, I think Wildfire and Heartbreak Warfare are really solid, really, really good openers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But I can see that. Other than that, I can't really name. I mean,
we should do.
So
an
if you're like your man's
that.
A good opener, but Clarity, Clarity's upper echelon opener for sure.
We should do an episode on ranking openers and closers of albums.
Yeah.
For that would sure. be a fun one. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So she continues. I think I love Heavier Things so much because I'm around the age John was when he wrote it. It's honestly hard for me to rank Room for Squares and It's I Once Out so low, but I ranked Born and Raised and Continuum higher because of the albums I grew up on. Crazy to me that I have Search for Everything so high. It used to be towards the bottom of my list, but I've been listening to it a lot lately. I get that.
Yeah.
I listen to it a lot myself nowadays. She says, my favorite song is by John is Wheel. Thank you. It might not be my favorite personally right now, but it's up there. It's way to freak up there. It's
a great song, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been her favorite for a while now. Born and Raised is also one of her favorites in terms of songs. And knows she will learn to love it even more with age. That's for dang sure.
Mm-hmm.
She says, so thankful for the community you guys have created. That's a heck of a sentence, man. Makes me choke up a little bit.
Yeah.
Did we create anything? It was already there, man. We just...
Yeah. We're just talking. Like, we're literally just talking about our guy. Right.
She can't wait for more episodes on Sob Rock. Me too, man. When stuff starts coming out. That full listen through.
That's right.
I don't know if we're going to do a listen through episode. We should probably take our time with the album first.
But we'll definitely do an episode on it and go through the songs and just kind of have an initial, because it would be pretty cool, you know, like, I mean, I'm not saying this, I don't know how long we'll do the podcast, but in a year or two, right? If we looked back on it and look back at that and say, how did we rank songs then initial? Yeah. And now how are we feeling about the songs? Like having been with them for a while. I think that would be cool.
We do this sporadically enough that we could definitely
return to it. I think so. If this was a weekly...
And I start demanding money or something, I don't know.
Or if John Mayer comes... Like, if John Mayer comes on, that's the last episode. We just can't
go on further. I'm pretty... I know Adam Scott and somebody else did a YouTube... I think it was... Did a YouTube podcast. Who did he do it with? Was it Ben Schwartz or was it... Who's that guy? God, I can't remember the guy's name. Paul Scheer. I don't know if it was Paul Scheer or not. Anyway, they did a YouTube podcast called You Talking U2 to Me.
Uh-huh.
And
that's good.
And they had U2 on. And it's like, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, we're done. What else could you go out on?
Right.
You couldn't really. What? Like, that would be it. Like, even if you had other episodes in the can.
I found it. It was Scott Aukerman. That's who it was.
Okay. I don't know.
So it looks like they did continue, but they brought on celebrity guests.
Oh, okay. Well, that could work. So, like,
Busy Phillips was the last recorded.
So, if we could, so whenever we have John on, then we'll just start bringing on celebrity guests.
Dude, that would be amazing if we could score that. Oh, my God. We've never. But that would be so amazing. I wonder. Like, they still have a Twitter. Yeah, it has been active since 2015, so this is a long time ago that they last time episode. Yeah.
All right. Well that's as easy as that. Right into the show. Yeah. Probably get read on the show especially if it's a really good email. If you sing our praises, let's just be honest. If you
it helps.
Tell us how much you love the podcast, it's probably gonna get read on the podcast. Yeah. Let's just be honest. We're humans and you know, we love hearing that stuff. So it is really cool though, right? I mean, just like you said, it's like, man, it's so cool that people like to listen and people enjoy it. So write into us, mystupidpodcastshow@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you, from the fans. All right. So let's jump in, Jeff. Let's start here. And this is alphabetical, right? So if you have the YouTube playlist pulled up, we're going to be talking about the first song here, which is Can't Take That Plane.
Mm-hmm. This was a bonus track or something on Continuum.
Continuum, yeah.
I think it was a bonus track on like a Target version or something. It's one of the versions of the album. It might have been iTunes. I think I did get it on iTunes.
I think I have it in my iTunes playlist.
Yeah. Okay, here it is. The track was included on the iTunes pre-release of the album back in 2006. However, the song was ultimately removed from the final track list, obviously. Here's the fun tidbit on Genius.com, and I don't see a citation for it, but it says that this was originally meant to be the opening track. of Continuum.
I did see that too. Yeah. I can,
that blows my freaking mind, dude.
I can see that because it's like a super fun upbeat song. Like,
oh, very upbeat. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it doesn't stop. It starts fast.
It does have upbeat. A single rhythm to it. Kind of like a rhythm. Not just that, but the, like a, not necessarily cadence, but just the general repetition of the chorus is very catchy.
And that's,
so it does have like a single, it could be an opener single type thing.
And that is actually what I wrote. I mean, in my notes, I put, it's a little repetitive. I don't.
Yeah.
Not the, just the, chorus the is lyrics, just, but yeah, the lyrics are repetitive. 100%.
Yeah, they are.
But even just like you said, the whole cadence, there's not a lot of dynamic in the song. It's a little light lyrically as well. I mean, it's pretty on the nose, like not.
If I read you the chorus, you'd be like, that's it. I can't take that plane. I can't take that. I can't take that plane today. I can't take that plane. Bridge. No, I can't.
Reading lyrics is the worst sometimes. I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about Photograph by Nickelback, right? And
take a look at this photograph.
And they were talking about, they were reading the lyrics. Like, if you ever, like, if you read the lyrics, the worst part is from the verse to the chorus, where he says, "Oh God, I." When you're just reading it, he's like, "Oh God, I."
Yeah, out of context, it's so weird.
It's so weird. And it, I mean, musically, okay, I can see it. It makes sense, right? But anyway, it's just, but so reading lyrics, I get it. They're not meant to be read this way. They're out of context. Like, it's totally out of context of the song. But
when I first heard this song, I was like immediately glad he took it out of the track list because, not because I didn't like it. I like it for what it is, but it just, it's a little too aggressive for Continuum as a whole.
Yeah, and I just put,
like, it hits a little too hard.
Well, and it's just Continuum, there's, it's so, every song on there is so, like, it's not this on the nose. You know what I mean? Like, all the songs on there are pretty deep lyrically.
Yeah.
This is not. I mean, not that that's bad. I'm just saying it's not, like, it's just a very, oh, I don't want to leave this person. Yeah. That's the whole song, right? Like,
I can't leave. I can't go on tour because I'm,
yeah, I don't want to go on tour because I, yeah, because I love this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that simple. There's not much else to it.
And again, that doesn't mean it's a bad song. It just, to me, it didn't fit on Continuum, and I'm with you.
It is fun. When I put it on, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. This song is actually kind of a banger. Yeah. Like, well, Jordan and Pino sound really good on this track.
It feels like a John Mayer trio song.
It does. Right? I mean, it feels like they wrote it together.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I just like you with the chorus. I don't like the chorus that much.
Me neither. It goes in directions where, like, I remember when I first heard the chorus, I was like, oh, that's the direction you chose to go in for?
Well, it's like the first part's kind of normal, and then the second part, it doesn't separate it. He runs the thing together, but it's like not in the same phrasing that he did the first one, and it's like almost like he leaves it hanging or something.
Yeah, it's something weird. It has like no real resolution to it.
Yeah.
Because he starts high and then goes, no, I can't take that plane. It's hard to
take that. Well, you'll know what we go listen to it. You'll know what we're talking about out there.
Take that plane. No, I can't take
it's
that
like
plane.
He had to like stretch out plane because it didn't like the way the phrasing didn't fit it right.
It starts really good though. Like, yeah, it does. Because the instrumentals on the chorus are super cool. There's like a bells thing going on. It's like da 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 da, and it works. It's so cool. And when I can't take that, no, I can't take that, cool. And then when he goes, can't take that plane today, I'm like, oh, you're still going with the plane. Like, it grabbed me and then it kind of lost me a little bit. That's the journey of the chorus of the song that we did not mean to dissect like this. But
the best thing about the whole playlist, and it's the same thing that happened last time, is I like start reading through the comments and there's at least one or two people who are like, this is the best, this is his best song. And I, you know, more power to those people. You love these songs. I love that you love these songs. Okay. Yeah. Music is so subjective. You can have opinions on music that don't line up with ours, and that's fine.
Here's a journey.
Every single one of these songs is like, oh my gosh, this is like the best John Mayer song ever. And I'm like, okay.
Here's a journey that somebody took, a commenter took us on. He says, Timur or something, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Says he has songs about a plane, a train, and even a car. Why Georgia? Talks about driving on 85. And he says, a bike is left. And then the comment right after that says, I just remembered in St. Patrick's Day he rode a bicycle.
Well, and he's got a bunch of, I mean, we're going to hear one, stuff about boats, ships, yeah. Submarines,
man.
he's all about transportation.
Back to a freaking train.
Yeah, he's all about transportation metaphors in his songs. Yeah, he loves those transportation. That's hilarious. Anyway, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yep.
That's his that's
it's a great John movie Mayer by the theme, way. The F word scene is top comedy.
That is one of my favorite scenes in like
Have you seen Emma Stone quote it word for word?
No, I haven't.
It's hilarious.
That's awesome.
It was just I don't know how the subject was broached because the clip was taken out from Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Yeah.
And just put on the internet. So I don't know how it started. I think he said, "Oh, I heard you can quote this, blah blah."
Yeah.
And he was actually guiding her she was actually guiding him on what lines to say.
Yeah.
Because she knew every freaking word to it.
I love when they're driving in the car and they're like, "You're going the wrong way," and he's like, "We're going the wrong way," and then you don't even know what he's about to say, and he's like, "How do they know where we're going?" How do they know we're and like, dude, that part is because like the way he says it, oh, he's like, "How do they know where we're going?" It's like, yeah, how do they know where we're going?
Yeah.
They're like, you know, do the drunk thing or whatever. It's like, oh my gosh, man. That's a great movie.
That's a classic. It's a Stone Cold classic. You youngsters that listen to this, I really love that you listen. Please listen to our words of wisdom when we talk about old stuff.
Yeah. Go watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
The Chris Farley sketch, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yep. Yeah. I have no doubt that John holds that movie in high regard.
He has to. That's probably where he got all of his inspiration for like Stop This Train, Can't Take That Plane.
I love Last that automobile. Train home.
I love that automobile.
I don't know.
That I mean, I assume Steve Martin and John Candy is where he got the inspiration for, you know, all those lyrics and those songs.
Especially the F word song. That's right. We're just making stuff up now, but go watch the movie. It's great.
Last thing. When she's on the phone and he's waiting at the desk and she's like, "Gobble, gobble."
He is so not in a festive mood, too. The last thing he wants to hear is somebody being festive. Oh my god.
All right, anyway. Okay. I do like the outro solo of this song. Like
tell that he was like, okay, here's the direction of the album. I'm gonna put some solos on this. I'm gonna put some solo juice all over it.
Sorry, I can't take that. I'm coming to get you.
Yeah.
I'm coming to get you.
That's
another thing that's weird for you to read.
It's got such a good vibe and a cool Motown melody to it. Oh, man. I just wish it had more substance to it.
So, we didn't talk about ranking, but do we want to rank?
We can at the end. Are you talking about 1 through 10?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and do that. I don't think any of these will be above a 9 or 8.
Yeah, I think
I might have misspoke.
I do have one.
Yeah, I scrolled down. All I had to do was scroll down.
I give this one.
This one's like a
go ahead.
One of the S ones.
Yeah,
If I did 0.5s, it'd be 6.5.
6.5. Yeah, that's what I would say too. 6 or 7.
Because I enjoy it more than just a 6, but not more than a 7.
Yeah. It's good. So. It doesn't belong on Continuum. It doesn't fit. Yeah. It doesn't fit right. And, you know, to be a bonus track, I'm glad we have it. It's good that we have it. Next song.
So, next song. So, Distance is the reason she and me don't really... Okay, sorry, no. But Distance is what it is. Is what it is. I gotta stop saying the lyrics.
Oh, my God.
But Distance is the next one that we have. And this one... I want to say this was before Continuum, after Heavier Things. And this was like the first song that hit live shows that was new, that everybody was like, what is this? It flopped pretty hard, obviously. Like, I mean, he played it probably three times total, but all the shows were being recorded then and being put on archive or whatever.
Right.
So,
My Stupid Mouth was probably having them all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, it was out there, and the fact that it was like a 5-minute long song, and we're like, there's no solo. He's just singing a lot. This song is as work in progress as it gets.
Oh, that's for sure, man. Yeah. This one to me is very rough.
Yeah.
And there's a reason it flopped.
Yeah.
I do not like this song.
It's not very good. I remember convincing myself that I loved it because it was New John when it came out.
Yeah,
I could
see myself doing that, being like, oh yeah, this is so. I could see myself being that way too.
I was like 3x5 vibes, dude. Yeah, come on.
And
man,
it does kind of have those. And here's the thing, I do really like the theme and sentiment of the song. Like, I think this is a cool like theme that he talks about sometimes, right? He kind of writes music about this kind of theme about being away, like not long distance type stuff, right? We have it with Split Screen Sadness a little bit there, but there's some really good lines. Like, there's some cool lines in here, but it just feels so unfinished. And even though I say that there's some good lines in there, the verses sometimes, for the most part, outside of a few verses, outside of the last verse, which we'll talk about in a second,
it's funny how the last verse has both the best lines and the worst lines ever written.
exactly. Oh my gosh, that's so perfect. That's exactly right. But the verses, the first one, verse two, seem like just a bunch of random phrases that are kind of put together that don't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, they don't at all.
It feels like
a lot of these could be a misunderstanding, even from what the recording.
That's true. Yeah, maybe somebody wrote it down.
Or he was making it up because he was in the make it up phrase.
That's true.
As a musician,
he's just kind of putting phrases together to kind of make a song, and I get that.
Exactly.
But it's so in work in progress. I mean, if I could find a word that feels remotely like the feeling is, that's cool. I'm tracking with you. Me, I'm still lucky. I will not succumb to all of this. It made temptation by the women. All my life.
That's where I'm like, I think he just made something up here.
And then this next line, if love was me, you'd never stay in all the closest ranges. You'd never find a love that's closest all the time. What? I'm like, you just gotta, I don't know. Again, work in progress. We get it. And he even says that. He was like, this is a new song he's kind of working on.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are just obviously rough. It's not finished. I understand that.
I do love the first two lines of that last verse, though. It's great. Oh,
dude, this is exactly what I wrote. I mean, what you said is almost exactly verbatim what I said.
That's so funny.
I said, they seem like a bunch of random phrases put together. Don't make that much sense. Except the last verse, which is so strong, but ends with such a horrible line. I mean, it starts off, you're like, oh, this is,
yeah,
we're getting to, this is the kind of lyrics that John writes, right? I mean, blood and all these clothes is from the telephonic surgeries.
Yeah.
That's a cool line.
That's a great line. Distance and the copy of my face, she will bend inside her dreams.
Oh,
is,
man.
That's so, so perfect. Because, I mean, that's the entire song in a nutshell. If he just honed in on those two lines, he could have crafted something more coherent, I think.
And then it starts. Distance makes a man believe that loyalty is a thankless chore. And I'm like, okay, where are you going with this? Loyalty's the reason I leave semen on my hotel floor. What? In what world? I mean, that almost seems like a joke line.
Yeah,
like
it does.
I don't even know what I would have thought. Like, I mean, I do know. I mean, I remember listening to the song. I don't remember being that taken aback by that line.
I remember seeing forums dissect it, like, what the heck does that even mean? And, you know,
we know what it means. Like,
They were just kind of like, they had to like kind of explain it, you know, what it means, to not just loyalty, but like faithfulness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What it means in regards to that. Yeah. There was another way to say it, though. Like, I mean.
There's another way. I mean.
Yeah, there's definitely another way.
There's a hundred other ways to say it. Yeah, I mean, anyway, I already didn't kind of like the song. I mean, it was okay. I don't really like the chorus. This day, I mean, it's like, okay. Again, work in progress. I understand that. To me, this is the lowest on the whole list for me.
Yeah, I get that. I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah. The music sounds good. I mean, I like the instrumental
it's
part.
It's just a little repetitive and there's not much going on.
Same thing. It's kind of
repetitive. But work in progress, like you said.
Work in progress. Get it.
They're all just doing rhythm stuff. There's nothing leady about it in terms of there's no leads that are going to stick out to you.
So outside of like those two, you know, two good lines, it's pretty... You know, just kind of, oh, well, this is okay. And obviously, there's a reason he didn't continue it. I mean, he saw, hey, this probably isn't that good, and fell flat. And then, you know, not every song is a winner. And that's why it's never been on an album. So, of course, there are other people who love this song, right? I mean, oh my gosh, this song's so great. They say it on the YouTube comments. So, what do you rate this song?
Maybe 3?
Yeah, I'm a 4. I gave it more than that, but it's probably, I think I'm being generous with the 4. It's probably a 3. I think
it's better. Definitely a 3. That lyric is probably the best throughout the entire song, and it makes perfect sense. Loyalty is the reason on every video. Like you said, you can find a comment that you're can like, find somebody like,
oh my gosh, this is that like lyric, so genius.
That lyric is so genius. Somebody said, reminds me of Paul Simon. I was like, yeah, a little too on the nose, though. He was definitely in a Paul Simon phase.
All right, well, let's move on to a freaking, oh my gosh, talk about a change in tone and everything, which this next one is Good Lovin' on the Way, the studio version.
Yeah, we haven't touched on this yet, and there was really nowhere else to put it in terms of, I don't know,
that's a topics. B-side. I mean, it's 100% a B-side.
It's on the Waiting on the Roll to Change single with the Ben EP. Harper version, which we talked about on the Village Sessions episode. Mm-hmm. I think right after that is Good Love's on the Way. And I remember when I first heard it, I think I was stacking it up to everything else that came out on Continuum. I was kind of like, oh, I get why you didn't put it on the album.
Yeah,
I honestly, like immediately got it, even though I love listening to this version of the song.
It makes sense that it's not on there.
Again, much like Can't Take That Plane, my main criticism of stacking it up to the other songs that made it was it's too heavy. Like, where does this fit? With Vultures, Heart of Life, Stop This Train. Where does this fit in there? It really doesn't. The heaviest song on that album is In Repair, maybe? And it's not even that heavy.
Or Belief, but like that's not even that heavy.
No.
Like,
there's no distortion. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's like, imagine putting Who Did You Think I Was on the album. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You know? So he made a good call, and they really didn't add much to the trio sound other than, I think, keys or organ or something.
Yeah, and you know, it's just fuller, right? I mean,
yeah, it's just
with
fuller,
the trio
yeah.
with the trio, the live version, it's just one guitar.
Yeah.
On this one, there's at least two guitars.
There's an acoustic for sure. I hear an acoustic in there.
Yeah. You hear the rhythm part while he's soloing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I love the way this sounds, man. This one
it sounds
like,
so good. Ooh, man.
Yeah.
It's ear candy,
clean,
man.
And like when you listen, I mean, you probably did the same thing. When you listen in stereo, like, it's like, oh my gosh, you're hearing, it's so much fuller, obviously, because it's a studio recording and there's you know, there's production and all that stuff on it. This song is great. This song is so great. This might, I don't know, this, I think this was my favorite song on Try, on the John Mayer Trio album. This is probably my favorite song on there.
I remember, okay, so when Try first came out, I probably would have said Another Kind of Green because I love that song.
It's a great song too.
As an unreleased song, I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
But you're probably like, you're probably right. It's probably
The
best
song. If it was like, hey, you can pick one song to hear live, or just even just hear, pick one song to hear off of this album, this would probably be the song.
Yeah.
And if he was like, hey, pick one song from Try, I'll play it live, I would pick this song. Because he's gonna play Gravity and you know all those
yeah
songs
yeah that's a good point.
But the ending isn't as good as the live version, like the very, very ending, like the kind of the sting at the end. But
yeah,
he does it, I think, what, three times or something like that on the live version. But man, this, I love this song.
It's, yeah, it's great.
There's definitely a difference in a song like this that got recorded, that got put on a B-side of an EP versus songs that are just like unreleased, right? So you've got Distance, which is unreleased, and then you have Can't Take That Plane and Good Love Is on the Way so far that we've talked about. The Can't Take That Plane's a B-side, Distance unreleased. Songs, Distance, I mean, to be honest, like it just does, it didn't cut it for a John Mayer song.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, man, I mean, when you have songs like Good Love Is on the Way that are coming out around the same time, like he's writing around the same time, it just doesn't, it doesn't even live up to Good Love Is on the Way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not even fair. It's like Distance, it's, is just like cutting room floor easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when he, Distance was clearly pre-trio meetup and jamming.
Yeah.
Because once those guys came together, it was pretty clear what Continuum was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Not much to say. We've talked about this song before.
Yeah. You know, this is lyrically. Just a really good version. If you guys haven't heard it yet somehow, it's just go a really check good version out. Of a song yeah, you love.
It's a cool variation to have. And again, I'm glad we have it. They obviously recorded it in the studio. And I wonder if any of those other songs are in this, or we have studio versions, like if they exist. Like
I bet Hummingbird has to, because he played it so much, even during a televised concert, he played it. He played that song so much. It felt like he put a lot of eggs in the Hummingbird basket.
Well, do we want to rate Good Love Is on the Way? I mean, to me, it's like an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, it's an 8. Yeah. I mean, it's as 8 as it comes. It's a really good song. Yeah. Yeah. It's not super deep or anything. Like much, no. You know, it's just a song you've heard before with Good Love.
But the here's the thing, right, is that like with this song, it's not super deep, but the way he's written the lyrics are just so much better than, even though it's not a deep song, the writing's just still so much better. Like the way he phrases things and the way he's, I mean, I'm a lazy lover undercover. Like, oh, yeah, man, that's so great. Anyway, all right, let's move on.
So we have, we're talking about one song, but there's two versions of it you can find. This is a song that he performed. He debuted it with the trio when they were doing their smaller theaters. So this is 2005 or whatever. So he started playing Heart So Heavy. It was like the one acoustic song. And it was a really, I remember first hearing it and I was like, this is a really good song, but it just doesn't sound like John. So it, strangely, which is kind of a weird phrase, but it really didn't, melodically speaking. And then I think after Katrina, they did a benefit album and they put Aaron Neville on the track, but it's John, it's the trio playing everything. You know, John's doing harmonies even. So there's two versions of Heart So Heavy out there. I do recommend the Aaron Neville one because it is full studio. You can hear all the words.
Yeah.
And he struggles a little bit with the live version of it.
This is a really sad song, man.
Dude.
Like, oh my God. That was the first. It's just like, I mean, the music and the lyrics go hand in hand because it's so, I mean, everything's just so sad about it. This could have been a really strong song of his. Like, I feel like this could have been on an album if he worked on it more and maybe worked on the range issues. Because you're right, he struggles, right? Like, when you
hear the live version, it's the higher part at the end. How am I gonna beat this pain? Yeah, that part. Yeah,
he struggles with that. And, you know, who knows? It's so if he was recording, he may have said, "Hey, we need to bring this down a key."
Yeah.
You know, or like a step.
I mean, Neville. Aaron Neville kills it because he's Aaron Neville. It's just Aaron freaking easy.
Neville, like,
yeah.
He sounds, you know, yeah. That was really good.
No. I want to walk it tonight because I need to.
Love is haunted away.
But I love that line, dude. I love everything about the chorus. Everything about the chorus is so freaking good. How am I going to run back home with a heart so heavy? How am I going to find my way when I can't find the road? How am I going to beat this pain when I can't see how deep it goes? Heaven knows, but I don't. Is a hell of a closer for a chorus. Dude.
And that part when he says,
it's freaking depressing, but at least it ends on a line that's like, you know, I still believe love. You know, I still believe in love. Yeah.
That the chorus is so strong. And whenever he said that part where he says, when I can't see how deep it goes, and mm-hmm. he does like, it's like the music goes along with the lyric, like the lyric part. He it like kind of goes down.
The chords do the
Yes. Oh my gosh, man, that's a great, great part.
Fun fact: I don't remember learning a tab on this at all, but I do remember playing around with the tuning of this. I think the tuning is the exact same as In Your Atmosphere and Something's Missing for the musicians out there. You just kind of have to play around with it, because I remember figuring it out at one point, but I don't play in that tuning a lot, so I didn't tab it or anything.
Well, and then even think about the song for the hurricane relief. I mean,
yeah,
it was for Katrina and Rita, which I went through here in Houston. I mean, we were affected by both of those. Katrina with helping out in New Orleans,
right,
and then Rita coming through Houston. And whenever you actually think about the content of the song and you put it in that context of like a hurricane, it's even like, because I mean, you might think of it, oh, this is more of like a love song,
mm-hmm.
but think about it as if like your home got destroyed or your city got destroyed, and read the lyrics in that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have friends here, really, really good friends that live in Houston because of Katrina. They moved here because things got destroyed.
I still have a handful of friends that still live here because of
Katrina. Yeah, and that's what brought them here, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. how am I going to run back home with a heart so heavy? How am I going to make my way when I can't find the road? How am I going to beat this pain when I can't see how deep it goes? Heaven knows, but I mean... Think about it in just even that context, right? It's like, oh man, my home's gone. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, I get like emotional listening to this song.
Yeah. It's an emotional tune.
Yeah. This was a real, I mean, God,
it's tough to rank for that purpose.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because the live version is kind of rough in the choruses. Like that's the only mm-hmm. thing. But man, Aaron Neville, whenever you hear the recorded version, it's like, oh, dude, like it's so good. And he has a nice little guitar solo interlude thing. And
mm-hmm.
he obviously hits those high notes much better than John does. I mean, we're talking about Aaron freaking Neville. So what do you rank this?
This is tough. I might go... I'm going to have to judge off the studio version and say 8. It's not a song I go back to often, but that's just it's just a beautiful song.
Yeah. I go 7. I kind of combined the two in my mind. I don't think I even realized that there was an Aaron Neville version of this song until you sent it to me. I was like, "What?" And then I listened. I was like, "Oh my gosh,
this yeah, is I was so keeping tabs better, at that dude. Time. It is right.
This is so much better.
I was keeping tabs on this song. I was keeping tabs on everything, John, at that time in 2005. And I was like, oh, he's on a Benefit CD, because there was mm-hmm. a lot of artists on that Benefit CD that I really wanted to listen to. Right. I think Jason Mraz had a cover of Bob Dylan's "Hard Rain's Gonna Fall."
Mm.
It's amazing, 6 minutes long or whatever, because Bob Dylan songs are all
well. Then long. This was around the same time, right, that he performed. There was like a benefit. It was like a telethon type thing.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And he performed Bold as Love with the trio. You remember this?
Yep, yeah.
And now I assume that's around the same time. I mean.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
I remember that too. And then Rob Thomas does this great version of the Cyndi Lauper song, Time After Time. If you haven't looked that one up, dude, on that telethon thing. Look up Rob Thomas Time After Time. You will like break down and cry, man. He's so good. It's just him acoustic.
Oh, cool.
On an acoustic guitar singing Time After Time. Have you ever heard him do 3 a.m. on piano?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know he was like an instrumentalist, man. I've seen him do Bright Lights, but that's it.
So 3 a.m., it's a classic 90s. I love one of my favorite Matchbox 20 songs. I never kind of knew what it was about. Like, I didn't really understand. I mean, I thought maybe I didn't really know. It's kind of a little cryptic in the way the lyrics go. But I don't know how I came across this. It was on YouTube. I came across this thing. It's him on piano and he's singing it. And it's very like, it's a little bit slower tempo and it's just him. And he says this song is about his mom, because his mom had cancer, and she was always in pain, like when he was younger and all this stuff, and they didn't know if she was gonna make it, and eventually she did, like she survived, but there was this time where they kind of didn't know, and it was like, and he tells a story right before he goes into it, and then so you have that context, and then he starts playing it, and it's all slow and like passionate, and you're just like crying by the end of the song.
Yeah.
Anyway, go awesome. Check out those two.
I'm glad you like Rob Thomas Matchbox 20, because like, yeah, like I've always been a fan of them, and yep. It really upsets me when people are just like, man,
people kind of people stick up like their butt
a little bit about Matchbox 20.
Dude. Yeah. So I went and saw Matchbox 20 and Counting Crows a few years ago when they did that tour. It was like 3 or 4 years ago or something.
I remember that.
And
was every it during song, How Far We've Come, that single, that Exile on Mainstream, that album?
No, I don't think he even had an out. Like, I don't think there was an album out. Oh, or there may have been one, but there wasn't, like, maybe it just didn't have radio play. But I was like, oh, yeah, I want to go see Matchbox 20 because that first Matchbox 20 CD, like, album, CD, I said CD, the album is like, oh, my gosh, dude. Back to Good.
Yeah, Yourself or Someone Like
You. Push.
I know, believe it or not, Mad Season's really good, too. Believe it or not, the third, I think More Than You Think You Are, I think it's that third one.
Uh-huh.
I think that's my favorite. Like, yeah. I feel like I never skip a track on that record.
But here's the thing. So we go to this show, and he starts playing. And I have just, like, forgotten how many singles, how many hits.
They were nonstop.
Nonstop. Every song, I'm like, oh, yeah, this was a hit. Like, they didn't play, like, a deep cut. Because every song that they've had like 20 hits. They had so many hits that I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, that's a great song. I forgot about that song. And the whole thing went like that, and it was great. But anyway, go check out those two performances, because man, they'll kill you.
So
you want a good cry, go listen to both of those.
Dude, More Than You Think You Are has some like emotional songs on it that weren't even singles.
I'll have to check that one out.
That's the one that's more famous for Bright Lights, which is a freaking amazing song. But All I Need followed by Hand Me Down are just, dude, those songs are killer sad melodies. It's so amazing.
Rob Thomas, man, he,
yeah.
Oh dude, he's so good. I even like Smooth. I'm a 100. If I hear Smooth,
I don't anymore. Cause like, you know, it was played too much, yeah. But you know,
if that song comes on the radio, I'm listening to the whole thing. I'm like, loving it. I'm like, yeah, man.
What a good combo those guys were, right?
Yeah, it was good.
Santana. That was so unexpected.
Anyway, all right. Well, we are a John Mayer podcast, not a Matchbox 20 podcast. But go check out those two performances, because they'll just wreck you.
I can't wait to be wrecked. Wait, that sounds wrong.
Okay, so Heart So Heavy, 8 for you, 7 for me. Yeah, okay, well, let's move on.
Yeah, so the next track I have in the list is this is Hummingbird Full Band, because it's on As Is, and we've already talked about that version.
Mm-hmm.
We did a listen along. I think Hummingbird was one of the songs on that, because wasn't it?
No.
Or it might have been you and your wife.
No. I think it's on one that we haven't done yet.
Okay, so we'll get to Hummingbird As Is. So yes. I only included Full Band in this playlist because it's part of As Is, you know. Yes. We're going to talk about it.
Yes.
Full Band, not as much of a fan.
Really?
I think it's just the arrangement of it. And I think this was the only arrangement I've heard of it.
Well, you know, it was supposed to be on the Jackrabbit Surprise album.
What?
Did you hear this at the beginning of the video? He says, this is going to be on my new album called Jackrabbit Surprise. He says that at the beginning of the YouTube video you posted. That's what he says.
I didn't even hear that part.
I had to rewind it. Like, I was like, wait, what? What did he just say? Yeah, this is going to be on my new album, Jackrabbit Surprise. I don't understand. Like, I mean, a joke, maybe? I hope it's a joke. I hope he wasn't planning on calling.
I might take it back a little bit. That arrangement is actually pretty good now that I've heard some clips of it.
Yeah. I liked it.
Right. It's pretty good, but the acoustic one with him and piano is just tops. That's my favorite version of it. But yeah, I do like this song. I like the, just because I said I didn't want her doesn't mean I want her to go. In fact, I quite depended on her, but I didn't want her to know. And then the chorus is just so freaking beautiful.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I love the pre-chorus into the, I mean, that whole pre-chorus chorus.
Yeah.
So, so good.
What is it? I'm not, is it, I'm not enough to leave or man enough to leave? Man, not I think enough it's, to lead.
I thought it was not man enough to lead. I mean, to need.
But that's not, what I oh, okay. read,
but not,
oh, man I'm not enough, enough to, need, to, I think it's,
but
I'm
man
not enough,
enough to always it's care. Hard.
You're kind of just having to decipher what the heck he's saying because there's right. no official lyrics. So mm-hmm. it could be, what makes the most sense to me is I'm not enough to need, but not enough to always care.
I thought it was not man enough to need, but man enough to always care. Like he's saying, I'm not this man enough, but I am this man enough.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, who knows? I mean,
anyway,
same
it's a good
sentiment.
Song about you know sentiment. somebody that's kind of, well, to put it literally, I guess in terms of the song, just kind of floating there. You know,
yeah,
yeah. Somebody that you do love, but I don't know. You can't grab them. You can't really.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're fast. Like they maybe came in fast, and then now they're gone.
Right.
Like a hummingbird does, right?
You're like kind of like in the middle in of a, kind of like in the middle of falling in love with them, but I don't know. You're just not fully there yet, and it's a struggle.
And now that she's gone, I mean, yeah, that idea
that's
of like
a,
not.
It's a good song, man. It could have it could have been on a record and fit somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think if you know, it's a good song. It could be a lot stronger. I think.
I agree,
but
especially because that chorus is just so good.
Well, the way. Just the phrasing and the melody, not even just the words, like the way it's sung and the way the music is arranged at that part is like super cool. You know, it's like,
yeah, I love the guitar part in that chorus. It's actually really difficult. It's one of those more difficult songs because it's just tricky. It's just his tricky songs are extremely difficult.
Who's playing the last part? The little, is it like keys or like, is it David Ryan Harris? You know what I'm talking about at the very end? Because it's that the finger picking part still happening. Dun, 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 you know, that he plays in the intro. But then there's like this kind of like lead part happening at the same time.
And so, I just hear keys. Yeah.
I guess it's keys. I didn't know if it was like a keys and a guitar.
Maybe keys in tandem with guitar. Yeah. Because I do hear like a picking quality.
Yeah, but it's a cool song, man. I mean, a little hard to kind of nail down on what does this mean, which is not unlike John. You know, I mean, some of, you know,
there's he never released a song, so who knows what it means. Yeah,
there's a handful of his songs that are what exactly is he trying to say? But
right.
you kind of get the sentiment of it's a relationship that maybe is kind of like he was wanting more. Or he was getting more invested, and then maybe the opposite was not, like the girl wasn't, or something. Or I don't know. Maybe I'm off on that. Or he's kind of like, do I want this? Or maybe he's realizing that he wanted more after she left. I don't know. It's something something along those lines, right? Like a relationship that either ended or is ending or is like unrequited a little bit. I don't know. I'm just rambling at this point.
We got to rate this sucker, I guess, or rank it or whatever.
I go 7, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go 7. It's a good song. Not my favorite, but it's good. It's really good.
It's not my favorite, but all right.
We're moving on to the song that eventually kind of spun off into Friends, Lovers, or Nothing. For better or worse, depending on who you ask. It's called The Hurt. He was playing this around Continuum era. I mean, and when I say he was playing this around, he was playing this very close to when Continuum came out, to the point where you're like, oh, this is going to be on Continuum. And then it ended up not being on Continuum.
Well, he says it in this recording that you sent me. He says this is not going to be on the next album.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that was like, the same show. That's the Hotel Cafe show then that's very famous for when he played literally every song that's on the record.
Yeah, he said his sentiment was, I'm playing this for Chad because Chad wants this to be on the next record and it's not going to be on the next record. And he says, but I'm planning on putting it on a record that I'm going to release shortly after this one. which
of course
yeah why John do you even say things like that
record? Yeah, yeah, jeez, always. every for those of you that have been somewhat new to this, John does this every single record cycle where he's like, oh, I'm gonna do this after I do, because he gets hyped when he releases new music and he's like, I have so many new ideas, and he can just never pursue them for one reason or another. We don't know why, but I have to assume it's label involvement or something. I have no idea. But I think this song's really good. I like the fingerpick style. It's not that common of a style that you hear from him. Well, the timing
like,
of it.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like More Than Words by Extreme.
How dare you? I had to play that song for... I was not in choir when I was in high school. But these two very talented girls asked me to play guitar for them because I was like, they knew me for playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to learn Extreme. And I was like 2 years into playing guitar.
Ooh.
So that was a weird fingerpicking style for me.
It's
dude.
Hard.
And they play weird chords.
That's some weird chords in that song. You started out and you're like, okay, I think I can get this when you start.
Yeah, because it's G pretty easy. Yeah. To B something to C. You're like, cool, got it. A minor, and then
It starts throwing in some weird stuff.
When you go into the chorus, though, easy,
and the changes are fast.
Yeah.
Like they do some pretty fast changes whenever they're doing it. I can't really play it.
I don't know. I think I have a recording of it somewhere. I might even have it on this computer. But I play guitar for them, and that's some reason I said okay. I don't know why.
Because there were two girls.
Yeah, and they were very good. They sang so beautifully together.
I can imagine. That's a great song.
Yeah.
More Than Words, like
the harmonies really like, dude, I remember because it was for a show. Like we did, it was one of those things where you do in high school where you do like two or three shows.
Yeah.
So we did it a few times.
Yeah.
And I remember like at certain points just playing my guitar and smiling because their voices sounded so freaking amazing together. Because that's one of those songs that when you nail those harmonies, you get chills.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's such strange harmonies.
I love
that
song.
They just work really well together. Yeah.
Is More Than Words better than The Hurt?
Yeah. Yes. Probably because of Legacy.
That's right. I think this song's fine. It didn't really speak to me that much. It feels like old school John, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like it's a little bit... Maybe, I don't know if it was something that was laying around for a while that he kind of reworked again, but even just the finger picking, the kind of slaps that he does, the lyrics are pretty good.
The lyrics are good, but you know, he's kind of the villain in it, even though he opens the freaking song with "I'm a good man," which I'm not a huge fan when songwriters do that. "I'm a good man" thing.
With a good heart.
Like, don't tell us that. Let us Show figure it. That
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
You know, I think after the first verse, it definitely picks up, you know, lyrically speaking. So the lyrics are good, but it's just what it's about. You're kind of like,
and he does that sometimes, right? He'll kind of paint himself as the bad guy. I'm bored and want something to do.
Yeah.
You know, and
I do
it's
like
kind
the,
of an honest.
I don't know. I mean, I like the lyrics at some parts, even though it's kind of messed up. But like they're gonna make it, like I need her, gonna miss her the moment I meet her, and it's only gonna get worse from there. And then when he says I can do better, but I can't do better now, I mean that's like these are good lines. It's just wish it were kind of like about something else. That's my only hang up with the song, even though I remember like really loving this when I first heard it, and I still like it.
I like the kind of thing he does when he says I want to fall asleep. Asleep in the arms of a woman who doesn't deserve my love.
Like kind of phrases, I think that's cool.
I want to lie to myself and someone else just to feel something that hurts me.
Yeah,
I like how he kind of starts the phrase and then kind of it's not like it takes a twist necessarily. Mm-hmm. A couple of them kind of take a little bit of a turn, but how he does that. You know, he kind of finishes it. I
like that. I don't think he'd ever done something like that before, so it was really cool.
That's a cool little technique, I guess.
I like people panicking in the comments.
Oh gosh.
People talking like they're hearing a novice. You're in front of a freaking genius. Because it's a hotel cafe. People are chatting. Yeah. They're eating. Yeah. They're just drinking. You know, He did a pop-in show, for crying out loud.
Yes. So. People getting so mad about that.
Oh, my God. How could so
you?
Silly.
How could you? But, yeah, yeah, so that idea of, like...
I would go on this one. I'd go 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Because I still like it.
I went 5. Okay. It didn't speak to me that much. And
it's probably just nostalgic reasons I rated a little higher than that, honestly. Because I remember really loving this song when it first came out. Again, because it was New John. It was just a cool song, you know, at the time.
I do like the very last thing when he says, I want to laugh, cry, say goodbye. That's a cool little rhyme. Beg, lie, cheat, and steal. That's a little weird. But that,
a little aggro, yeah, John. Yeah. All right.
People like this song, though. I mean, I can tell people like this one.
Yeah, they kept bringing it up around Continuum era. Like, where is this song at? So the next song is something I just heard for the second time before we recorded. It's called Level.
Bro, I'd never heard this song before.
Yeah, I this is one of those songs where I stumbled upon it on YouTube all these times, and I was just like, that feels like a fake song. It would have come up before. You know, that's a fake song.
Real. Somebody's just attributing this to him. Right.
But really, genuinely, there's a story behind it that's in the YouTube description.
Yeah.
Where it mentions that he hosted a series of internet radio shows for his fans and followers. During these broadcasts, he'd play some of his favorite tracks from other artists and would debut unreleased demos or bonus tracks of his own.
So this is probably something he put together like at home or just on his GarageBand or something like that at that
point. Apparently he mixed down or something, pitched down Kanye West's Gold Digger, and this is his experimentation with the mix of that song.
That's funny.
Was Level. He recut Level without any of Kanye's sampling or live mixing.
It sounds like Neon. A little bit.
Oh, no, the guy who posted this, sorry. He cut it because apparently Kanye was talking during it or whatever. Yeah, well, apparently. John was talking during it or whatever. So this person took the time out to...
To kind of re-edit it a little bit.
To put it all back together. Yeah, it's too neon. That's why it didn't go anywhere, because it's literally neon. Like, the first two notes or three notes are neon. And then he goes, doom, bit, did it, do, bit, did it. You know, so he's just taking a different turn with neon. So it's kind of a cool beat, and you could have gone somewhere with it, because calling a song Level and then making your chorus, oh, you level me, is pretty cool. Like, I wish he pursued this.
I think there's some cool stuff in here. You should I mean, that line, you should talk to all the girls I met before you. That's, I mean, to let them tell you about the way I turned them down. You know, it's, again, this is kind of a, there's a little bit of ego here, just like, you know, just like that. But
this is Battle Studies, John, because this is from 2009. Yeah. So he's definitely on a little bit of a high horse here.
I do like the chorus, the way it sounds and all that. This could, you know, I mean, he could have reworked this to be on The Search for Everything, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even though it is Neon Part 2, you're right. I mean, that's the first thing I was like, oh, this kind of sounds like Neon. But now, is it literally the first part of it?
Wow, that's what it feels like.
So I
don't really know what to rate this. 5, I guess, dead middle.
Yeah,
because I have no attachment to it. I just it's cool. Found it, so.
It's cool to see like the deconstructed lo-fi kind of thing, right? Like with the guitar, it's super lo-fi, the solo, and the guitar solo is really, really cool because of just like that weird lo-fi sound, super compressed, you know, it's like, sounds like a computer almost. But yeah, I mean, it's a 5. It's decent. There's some cool stuff happening in the lyrics, I mean, in the chorus,
as but far it's as clearly the, a demo because he's repeating himself, and
yeah,
there's not much to it. And it's a little too neon-y, which normally isn't a complaint, but if you rip yourself off that directly, it's a little strange. So the next track is Over and Over. This was, again, kind of being shopped around at interviews, coffee shops, whatever, that he would play at acoustically. He would play some of this song and make it seem like it's going to be on Continuum. And he had this whole thing mapped out. He had a whole mapped out. I don't know if you... This is around the time where I would listen to every interview he ever did.
Okay.
So he went on this show called Time Talk? Times Talk?
Never heard of it,
Not a thing anymore, I don't think. But he went on there and just talked about writing music, and he said, okay, so like, let's take this song that I wrote, for example. And he started talking about this song that, you know, I'm working on the song called Over and Over. And he has this part, like he played the entire song and then said, oh, and here's a bridge and there's going to be a key change and there's going to be solo. He had all of it mapped out. So we were going to get this song on the freaking record and we didn't. And this one would have fit, man. This one would have totally freaking fit, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel about it, though.
You know what I thought when I heard it? And it's not, but it sounds exactly like Perfect by Ed Sheeran. I mean, almost exact, especially in the chorus part. You could, if you would sing Perfect by Ed Sheeran over the chorus, it's like almost exact. Now, obviously, this came out way before that. I mean, he wrote this,
yeah,
this years and years before that. But it sounds like a rip. It sounds like Ed Sheeran ripped this song off. Go listen to it. Listen to it with that in mind.
I mean, they are fans of each other, so yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all. You know, I mean,
it feels old school again, kind of old school John.
This feels like Find Another You before Find Another You came out.
Well, yeah, and it's almost like Man on the Side-ish type lyrics too, right? Like, I'm, you know, I'll do anything for you, even though you're wrong for me and you treat me badly.
Dude, I just love there. The Guess Who Desperately Wants You over and over.
Yes.
I love that.
Yep, that's a great line and great way he sings it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the There's No Way You Ever Fall. You can jump 100 times, but there's no way you ever fall out of my graces. That's freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The one from Times Talk is the one I put on the playlist because the lyrics were more refined then.
Okay.
You can find earlier versions where you don't know what the heck he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's making words up. but this one has like the lyrics are pretty set. Like it's pretty clear he's done with the song. But yeah, there's a part where he talks about cut your hair and just to grow it back, dye it till the sink turns black. I'll recognize you.
Love it.
Dude, right? These are all such good lines. Like it's a good love song.
I don't care if you throw me aside.
You can do whatever you want. Yeah. I just want to be with you, man.
Yeah.
And it works. It's better than The Hurt, for crying out loud. So, I mean, it just works.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just a bummer you couldn't find a way to make it work.
And, you know, who knows? I mean, just who knows? He could have put it on Sob Rock. I mean, he's freaking putting old songs on it anyway.
People are obsessed. Yeah, I know. People, yeah, just wait. Why Did You Mess With Forever is coming to Sob Rock. it's funny that people are, the new obsession is the song that he showed a very, very brief clip of, The You I Miss. I'm sure you've seen this mentioned.
Yeah.
Because the lyrics are so freaking good. And it's just a brief clip from Instagram that he posted. And people are on Reddit, whatever, the John Mayer, My Stupid Mouth forum, whatever.
Yeah.
They're running with it. Like, please, I want The You I Miss on Sob Rock. And people are kind of somewhat convincing themselves that maybe it's just a bridge. Maybe it's a bridge in one of the songs that did make Sob Rock. They're just like kind of convincing themselves like, please, somebody put The You I Miss because it's so good, those lyrics.
Who knows? It could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. We'll see.
What will happen.
But I gut reaction tells me Over and Over was reworked to become I'll Find Another You or I'm going to find another you.
Yeah. Well, which is kind of a shame. I give it like a six.
Yeah, I would go 7. I like this one a lot. I don't know. It's so good. Cool, man. Well, we're going to my opinion, the best one.
Yeah, it's the best one.
I forgot to listen to Taking on Water again. All right, anyway, this is the best track that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
It's Tracing, man. It's the one from the Bigger Than My Body single.
Yes.
That also had Kid A on it, which we'll talk about in a covers episode.
Man. I mean, it's very well documented how much I love this song. On our podcast.
Oh yeah, same here. We talked about because this is the one that we did for sure. This was because it was Tracing, Home Life, and Comfortable.
Yes.
Which is I mean, just an amazing acoustic set right there. That we listened to and did a commentary on it for As Is. And so yeah, this one we've talked about before. But this one's, you know, the studio version. Clearly there was an intent to put it on an album or something, but I don't think it fits on what ended up on Heavier Things.
Well, I mean, you know my feelings. Take out New Deep and put this on, and
It doesn't really fit, though. An acoustic track doesn't really fit, unless it's Daughters, I guess. That's different, though. That's different. I don't know.
Daughters There's some has, electric like, a guitar in this one. At the beginning.
Yeah. I do love the instrumentation, man, of this song. You know, the ambient sounds like that.
And I love...
The drums being kind of like almost off time, which is really fun.
I love that this song... I mean, and this is just the amateur guitar player in me, is it's so easy to play.
Yeah.
And it's fun to play, and it's in a good range. Like, it's in that John Mayer range that's really easy to sing.
I remember what it reminded me of the time I first heard it is I was in a I'm a big Dave Matthews fan at this time.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it does. No, I know exactly what you're going to say. Yeah. I know exactly what you're going to say. Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Yep.
It's where are you going?
Yeah, it is.
It's literally where are you going?
It is where are you going?
Except that one's like, but like, I was such a big Dave fan at this time. I was listening to like everything he would put out.
I love that song.
And Where Are You Going was kind of new. I think that was Busted Stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great record, by the way. Love that
record. Great record.
But so that was one, that was my first thought. And then, you know, you get over that real quick when you listen to lyrics, because the lyrics are just
Where Are You Going is better. Is better than Tracy.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Where Are You Going is good.
I am no Superman. It's pretty freaking
song.
Good.
Dude, that is such a good song. But Tracy is freaking awesome. I mean, I don't know what to say about this song that I haven't already said. I just love... He paints such good pictures with all of his lyrics in this song. I can't say I really blame you for being bored with the beginning. Always trying to stare at the store to figure out who's barely winning. Don't you know there's a reason strong move slow? And then the pre-chorus, we talked about it on our as is, but it's kind of that I'm okay if you're okay with wasting time. Like, I mean, this isn't lasting. This isn't going to last. We both know, but that's fine. Let's just continue. You know what I mean? Like, that's such an interesting sentiment.
Like, it's like they're both aware of each other's mental state in this at the beginning of this relationship.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where they're just like both each other's rebound, and they know exactly how this is going to go.
Yeah, it's like we're not going to... I mean, this is not going to
be
forever by any means.
Right.
When you trace, you always see the bottom line.
Right.
What a great double, you know, double meaning there.
Yeah. And we've already talked about the Shape of Calling Home line. That's just one of the best lines ever written. Like, I mean, the build up to that line is just perfect.
Yeah.
I only stored it in my phone. You'd think by now I know that. I mean, we all store our numbers in phones.
Yeah. But, again, it doesn't.
But we used to have to, even on cell phones, I was using cell phones by this time. Even on cell phones, you would still dial numbers.
Oh, like, yeah. That's, you know? And that is one thing, right? I mean, that hasn't aged because everyone stores everyone's number in the phone now. And we don't know numbers. But you used to. When this came out, like, that would have been a thing. Like, you would know somebody's number if you called them enough. If you, you know, you would know it by heart. We talked about this on the As Is again, but... if you knew somebody's number by heart, it's like you'd think by now I would have called you so many times that I would know your number. But no, I just stored it in my phone.
Yeah,
it's just so cool.
Yeah, it's such a great God dang, it's such a great line for where we were when at the times with cell phones and stuff. That's such a great line. I think the linchpin of the entire song is when he repeats "We are tracing" and then he has a harmony sing with him. We're both alone.
Yeah.
Because that's it. That's the summary of the entire song. We're both alone, but they're together.
Yep.
Just kind of redoing the motions that you normally do on every freaking relationship. They might have even said, "I love you already."
Like, yeah.
But they don't mean it. They're just kind of like, this is just relationship fodder, whatever.
Well, then he refrains the very first verse, right? At the very end. And it feels different.
Did you
different.
Ever get the feeling? Yeah.
Yeah.
We knew, like, clearly they're done. Yeah. I feel like they're done by the last verse.
Yeah.
Have you ever... Yeah, I mean, come on. It's not like we knew ourselves that long. Yeah, it feels like they're done.
Yep.
God, this song is so freaking brilliant, dude. I know. Ugh. It's brilliant in its simplicity, too. It's not even that complex of a song, musically speaking. But
it's not.
I think that's what works in its favor, for sure.
Well,
so
for
it's
me...
Gotta be, this one has to be a 9 for me. I don't know.
Yeah, this one's an 8 for me. but it's, I mean, it's the best one out of all of these, if you ask me. I mean, even more than like Good Love Is On The Way, like I will listen to Tracing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a 9. I'd say maybe like an 8.5. But I do love it. Well, last song.
Yeah, last song. Taking on Water. This was Battle Studies Era. It was Taking on Water, yeah. I'm literally listening to it as we're talking because I don't remember the song at all.
So I feel like it's like a precursor to Lost at Sea almost. Again, with the freaking nautical metaphors, like he just loves trains and nautical, like he loves it. But this idea on a sailboat slowly floating nowhere, lots of the memories where I lost the memories of where I am and why. Mm-hmm. My favorite line in the whole song is "Black ocean churning, a million stars are burning."
Yeah.
Planetariums were right about the sky.
Phrased.
And just written so, so cool.
His vocal quality sounds like old Inside Once Out, kind of like,
mm-hmm.
at least on this recording, it sounds like old Eddie's Attic John. Something about the quality of the recording in his voice and how kind of shaky it is a little bit. I'm like, this sounds like early John. That kind of touches the nostalgic side of me a little bit.
And again, it's another sad song. I mean, it's, it's, he's floating. He's not, he's floating. Actually, he's taking on water, right? I mean, obviously the mm-hmm. line of the thing. So he's stagnant maybe in life. Like that's kind of the idea I get. And then he starts getting in the storm and not knowing what's going to happen. He used to, it used to be day and he used to be able to see. He could see where the land was, but now like he's out at sea and doesn't know what's happening and there's a storm around him.
I have a feeling this was written after the Playboy interview.
Oh.
Looking through these lyrics.
That's a good
insight. He sounds like he's kind of on an island out in the water.
That's a good insight.
On his own. And hard to see, I won't always be alone.
I had that line highlighted.
Yeah.
That is a good, I mean, that's a sad line.
Because, I mean, this is apparently recorded in 2010, something like that. 2010, I think, is when this kind of came out. And that's, Battle Studies was 2009, Playboy Interview 2010.
Hmm.
That's just a guess. I don't really know, though. It's really hard to tell because, this is just a YouTube video. And you kind of have to guess when it was recorded, unless somebody actually filled it in for you. Okay. Oh, so it says London, February 2010 is when he played it one time.
One time.
In one video. He's played it more than once, but that was like one. So it was definitely early 2010 is when he started playing this. When was that interview? Now I got to look that up because this theory.
I like when he does stuff like this, like kind of puts you in a, like he just paints that picture of like being in a place. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like he does that so, so well and of, being on a boat of some kind. Like, and.
Man, the interview came out. Okay, so the interview came out on the 10th of February and there's a video of him playing it on the 13th of February. There's no way he wrote it that fast.
No, maybe he did. Maybe he came out.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know, man. It is incredibly poetic, and
it could be a poem. Like this is one of those songs that's like, I mean, compare this with "Can't Take That Plane." You know what I mean? Like, I mean, again, two different kinds of songs, two different purposes, but. When you even just read the lyrics of this, mm-hmm. it's poetic, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And the last little part is my favorite. I'm on a sailboat. I am slowly floating nowhere, hoping someday I wash up on someone else's shore.
Yeah.
What a sad, beautiful lyric.
Yeah, dude.
This one could have been something too.
Yeah, it really could have. Instead, it's got Everything Is Not Broken vibes because it's just him on a solo electric. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, there's not much else to the song.
Yeah. Yeah. I, in my mind, this is a 7. This is one of the stronger ones, in my mind, of the whole thing. I mean,
to me, I have to only go with Bird.
It's up there with Heart So Heavy.
I think I have to only go with 7 just because I don't listen to it a lot, but the lyrics are really, really powerful. And they're good to read, too. Like,
I think I need to listen to it more. That's
my... same here.
That's what I... So, well, we did it again. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I'm still trying to like listen to the song going, how did I listen to this so much? I don't understand. What's wrong with me? Anyway, man, it's so fun to go down that memory lane and be like, this is where I was.
Oh yeah.
When I first heard that, because some of those songs, like I mentioned Distance, I was documenting everything John was doing when Distance came out, The Hurt, over and over.
Right.
I was just deep. Watching everything he was doing. I was there, man, for the first note. I was like, yes. You know, like I was so stoked and going back.
Leave
to
my
it now,
semen
like,
on the hotel man. Floor. Love that line.
I've done that too, John. No, I haven't.
And that's kind of, even thinking about it, that's kind of like rude for the maid staff.
Yeah, it's just rude.
I mean, it's just rude. Yeah. Well, one thing we didn't talk about is Jeff, you were on, you guested in another podcast and you're kind of like part of like the kind of regular guest of this podcast. Tell us about that.
I'm officially a co-host on a podcast that I have been guesting on over the past year and a half. It's called the Current Gen Podcast. It is primarily a gaming podcast.
Okay.
But we do talk about other stuff.
So you talk about
in
like,
between. We talk about some movies sometimes, and
like Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest. You talk about that game.
No. I mean, unless there's a remake of it coming out or something, because there's always remakes now.
Yeah.
But the focus of the show is primarily, hence the name of the show, Current Gen.
Yes, not old gen.
Not old, not next gen either. we're not looking to the future, man. We're talking about what's out right now. But yeah, the primary focus is gaming. So
okay.
If you like gaming stuff, and I do try to keep up with the news on gaming, there's still a lot of gaming titles that just don't, I'm not familiar with at all.
Is it
or
on?
They just don't appeal to me. But
if they search it like on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube or what? Where's the best place for the people to find?
We are on YouTube. We record every Skype call we do.
Okay.
So you can see.
You can see.
Video of my dumb face. Yeah. You can see it. We just post an episode about they just had the annual E3 expo.
Okay.
And we covered the back end of it because we drop episodes every Monday. So we already covered like a majority of the crazy stuff that happened last week or whatever. But this week we talked about like Nintendo's because that was later in the week.
Okay.
We talked about the news that Nintendo talked about or dropped or whatever.
Well, look it up.
Next yeah, it's a fun time, podcast. Man. So now there's officially 5 of us on there, but that's because we have good banter with each other. I think have good banter with each other. And because not all of us can be on all at the same time every time.
I listen to a podcast that has 4 to 5 hosts, and I like it. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So there's
it's
one
fun.
I listen to that has that many. So
it's fun with the right people, for sure.
Yeah,
we all give
true.
Each other a crazy hard time. We all kind of razz each other. We all take the piss or whatever. So whatever
you all drink
say.
The piss was
that's not the
phrase.
Not the expression. Y'all, that's not the expression, y'all.
I love to drink the piss.
That's not British people will look at you very strange if you say that out loud.
All right.
What are we?
Well, let's. So check it out if you if you're interested in gaming and hearing Jeff talk more about that kind of stuff. Go check it out, Next Gen Podcast on YouTube.
I do have another I'm working on too, but I'm actually not even doing. Again, this is just another much like this podcast and the one I guest on. It's one where I kind of just show up.
Oh, okay. What is that?
I do some research in advance, except for apparently listening to Taking on Water. I don't know how I missed that. but this other one is going to be movie focused, and because I do have an online playful nemesis where he is like, I'm like the Roger to his Ebert.
We just
constantly butt heads about movies.
So it's like, man, that'd be a good podcast because you could get two perspectives or whatever, two opposite perspectives.
Yeah, exactly. So we were like, let's do a podcast. And he said, I've been dying to do a podcast with you. I will literally do all the work, all the heavy lifting. And I was like, cool, then I'll do it then.
I'm in,
like,
yeah. If I just got to show up, I'm in.
I just can't do the producing stuff. I just can't. Yeah.
Well, cool. We'll go. We'll let you know out there whenever that goes live, like for sure, like whenever the links are up for that. But go search Next Gen Podcast, and if you're interested in that, we love to support Jeff here. So, thank you for listening right into the show. Let us know what you think about all of these songs, these B-sides and unreleased. MyStupidPodcastShow@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on the socials. Leave a positive review, all that good stuff. We appreciate y'all listening, and we will see you on the flippity flop. You know what that's from?
Yes. Catch you on the flippity flop, Mrs. Basketball Shop.
We'll catch you on the flippity flop. I'll see you on the flippity flop.
It's nighttime. Yeah. Catch you on the flippity flop. Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all take care, and we'll see y'all soon in the next couple weeks.